on, let's pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Just bring everything back to Him. Just as we began and say, Lord, I'm going to reach for as it is in heaven, let it be in my situation. That's what you taught us to pray. Big prayers, prayers to a big God, the greatest of all gods, the one who is able to do far more than we could ask or even imagine, Lord. Nothing is too hard for you. And so we lift up our hearts in faith to you this morning, expecting great things, expecting you to answer with great power and great love and wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for being the God who does the impossible to us and to our situations and neighbors and work colleagues and whatever it is, you're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue with what we began last week and midweek as well. It's all moving together to bring us through a process of what God wants to do in us so that we can be ready for what God wants to speak to us next weekend, the word of the Lord that kind of is our vision for the year, that God gives us a word that we can speak over 2026. But he's in heart preparation. And Jesus, when he taught the parable of the sower, we began to look at that last week. He taught about the key or the secrets of how the kingdom of heaven works. And he said, you'll be able to get it because you get how things grow in your garden or in fields. That seed has power only when it's planted in good soil. But if the soil doesn't work well with the seed, it doesn't produce. So even if you sow good seed, it's ineffective and unfruitful in actually 3 out of 4 different kinds of soils. Jesus speaks about the hard, the wayside soil, where actually the word is preached, the word is the seed. That's what God is speaking about in the parable of the sower. He's saying the word is the seed. When God sows it into a good heart, it produces. But by the wayside, it doesn't go in. Nothing goes in. You might be here this morning, but it's not going in. So you can have a listener who hears, but it doesn't go in. And Satan comes and immediately, I like the way the Lord makes it clear. You lose it straight away. What the possibilities of God in your life are lost like that. Like that. Off. Because Satan comes and steals what God intended to go deep in your heart. The stony ground is kind of a shallow dimension of allowing the Lord to work his seed, his word in you. And these Christians never have depth. They don't let the word go really deep in them. And so when difficult circumstances and conditions come, that too, it actually stops the seed being fruitful. And last weekend, we were majoring on the thorns, and we're going to carry on with thorns today. Those awful, horrible thorns. Nasty, nasty, nasty thorns. If you've got thorns in your garden, you'll know they're pretty nasty. And so we don't love the thorns. We hate the thorns. So that's the idea. So Jesus said, where there's thorns, there's competing priorities for the word of God in your heart. And we live in a generation where there's so much we can do. Alternatives to what God wants. There's so much we could be doing with our lives. Most of us have disposable income of some sort. Where you can pay your way around a cruise for the rest of your life. Some of us, I can't, but you might be able to. Sell your house and go on a cruise. And Jesus says that actually the kingdom of heaven only works with a heart that is devoted fully to producing what God wants in your life. It's the good soil. And it's such a key that our own heart conditions, you can't blame everybody else for what comes out of you. Your own heart condition affects your harvest, the fruit of your life. So if you want to change your fruit, it has to begin with your heart. Because everything Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, a man brings good treasure out or bad. So whatever is in the heart, that's why Jesus doesn't just want your head, he wants your heart. He's after the core of you, who you are. He wants you to be wholehearted in your devotion to him. After all, he has already proven he's wholehearted about you. Jesus died for you. That's called wholehearted love. So this is a response to Jesus dying and giving his life for us. This is not just because he's God. He's the God who gave his only son, that whoever believes, you will not perish. So we're responding to love when we say, you can have all of my heart. But there's only one condition of heart that produces. When I was a child, I grew up actually in Africa till I was 10, in Zimbabwe. And my dad, he liked to work the ground on his day off and plant seeds to grow things. And I learned from him, really, about how the parable of the sower works. And I'd offer to help him, and he would take a shovel or a fork to turn over the ground. He had vision. My future for my family is vegetables. That was his vision. I want to produce this. So he had to do something with the soil. And my job was to get the wheelbarrow and wheel it up and follow him. He did all the hard work. And he was perspiring, and he was digging, and he was smacking down that soil. And he was saying, new soil are going to be good soil. Let's get the hardness out. Let's break you up. And then I would follow to pick up the stones and pull out the weeds. And because he'd tilled the ground, it was easier to pull out. How many of you know, until things, like even this morning in worship, your spirit, your heart is turning over if you came to really worship God. Your heart's been turning over, and it's like, oh, you're getting softer and softer so that the seed can come in. Amen. So that our hearts are soft. So I was following, I pull out the stones and yank out the weeds and put them in the wheelbarrow and take them away. Because they didn't have anything to do with having a good harvest. And Jesus said, thorns, which are the, let's just read that, can we? Mark chapter 4. These are the ones that are sown among thorns, the seed among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. So the problem isn't in not listening and hearing the word of God, or even proximity. In a room or reading your Bible, the issue is the heart. So he says, these are the ones they hear, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So the thorns compete with what you want to grow. And God looks at us and he said, I want you to make sure that you're taking care of your heart and anything that competes with what I want to do in and through you. So in other words, I want my kingdom to come through your life. I want the life of Jesus to be on display. And I want to produce every promise. There are hundreds of promises in the word that are seed potential for your future. My favorite bit, helping my dad, after I'd done all the hard work of pulling out stones and weeds, was he entrusted me with a bit of seed. And he'd have this packet, and it would have a picture of the most beautiful carrots, the most amazing potatoes, the most amazing broad beans. And he would say, I want you to just, I'm going to put a hole in the ground and I just want you to go in and drop a seed. And I felt I was doing something great. Yes, I was doing something great. Because what I was doing is saying to this earth, this bit of earth, you're going to produce that. And I had a picture in my mind about what was coming. And the picture made me very happy. And then my dad would cover up that seed. And that seed, you'd think, was buried for life. That was it. It's gone in. And you can imagine that seed saying, everything's a bit heavy. I feel crushed at the moment by the weight of the soil. And the soil would say, you're not coming up. I'm too heavy for you. This is too difficult for you. And in the seed would go, I'm happy. I've got the life of God in me. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I've got the life of God. You see, the word of God carries the divine power of God to accomplish what the word says. The picture that he brings when you read a promise or something about your life and your future in the word of God suddenly becomes your packet at the end that says, at the end of all this, I'm going to see this happen. That's what planting in hope is, planting in faith. There's an expectation of those who sow seed that they're going to reap. And so this little seed seems less than everything. Because when you have a promise, it seems less than all your problems. It seems less than all your needs. What if the secret to meeting your needs is in a word from God? Anybody? What if your victory for your life, for your body, for your future is in a word? And if you sow the word in good soil, it will produce. There will be a harvest. See, the farmer knows he can trust the process once he's put it into good soil, because it will produce. Did you know that everything can change with a seed, a word from God? Did you know that's the secret to God doing what he promises in the word in your experience? The secret is in the seed planted. When it is planted, it's greater than, bigger than, more strong than any other force and is able to produce everything God said. So that is why, as Christians, we need to understand it's really important I take care of my heart. Because I want to see everything God wants to do through my life. Therefore, I need to watch over what goes on the inside. Your wife isn't responsible for your heart. Your husband isn't responsible. And actually, partly, yes, I am responsible, but I'm definitely not responsible for everything. I'm responsible to sow the word. It's your heart that produces. It's always down to the heart of a person, what happens in and through their lives. It's a wonderful wisdom that comes from God's word to teach us. When we planted those seeds, we could see the future without seeing anything. But we had a confidence. We know what's coming out of that garden. And I know that sometimes we struggle with faith because we think it's something that we can't deal with or can't invest in. But if we take a word, speak it over our own hearts, pray it, prepare our hearts to receive a promise, it will grow. It will come up. It will prevail against everything that opposes it. And it will produce what God said it would do. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to work with God's word as a gardener or as a farmer, so that you can see God produce the results he wants out of your life. There is this amazing word, Romans 8, verse 11, that says, the same power that raised Jesus, that seed saying, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in that promise. Nothing can stop what God says when it's planted in your heart. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You've got resurrection power. You've got the spirit, and when the spirit works with the seed that's planted, absolutely nothing can stop a future happening of what has been sown. You see, Christians that don't work with the word of God, their Bibles, can I say, are foolish. Foolish. Because Jesus teaches, if you want to see the Christian life work, you need to take the seed from the written page and sow it into good soil, thorn-free soil. Like my dad did, tilled it, broke it up, I weeded, I pulled out the stones, took them away, we put it in soft, it was receptive soil. That's good soil. It says, yes, Lord, like Mary, let it be to me according to your word. Acts 19:20 says, so the word, let's say this together. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Let's say it again. The word of the Lord grew mightily, powerfully, and prevailed. I once had this experience whilst walking in some country lane of a dandelion in the middle of a road that used to be tar. So tar used to live over it. It was squashed. Let me tell you, if life has squashed you and you've got a word, that dandelion began to push up and break through. What seemed impossible for a dandelion was possible because it had power within itself to produce. And it came up out of that tarmac, and there it was saying, look at me, look at me. I'm strong, I'm mighty, I can do anything. And you might feel like you've got a lot of tar on your head or on your heart. But God says, you plant my word on the inside of you. And let me tell you, it will grow mightily and prevail. It will win and bring victory into defeat. It actually prevails over anxiety. It prevails over depression. It prevails over lack. It prevails over weakness. It even beats your own flesh that doesn't want to do what God wants you to do. The word of the Lord prevails and works mightily. This is the power of the seed and the sower and the heart, where there is cleared ground, tender ground, receptive hearts, hearts that just want to give themselves to Jesus and say, I'm going to follow you wholeheartedly, not just in a certain season, but all the days of my life. You can have my heart. You can rule over my heart. God says, I will work mightily in that heart, and I will bring my victory through you. This is what Jesus is saying. And it's a message of hope for the future, that you can actually change your heart, change what you have been doing to make good soil. So that what God does is a God dimension of a miracle. That's the power of the seed. It heals us. You know, when it's first sown, that little seed says, I'm healed. Because that's what the word says. By the stripes of Jesus, I am, not will be. The scripture is really important that you know it. The word says, I am healed, even though I'm hurting and I've got a pain. I'm healed, that seed says. I've got the life of God in me. I'm coming up. There's nothing that's going to stop this. Rising up within me, growing mightily and producing. Praise God. No word fails. When Mary had a word that she would bear Jesus, she asked a question, okay, I accept that, but how? Well, the Holy Spirit will make that word come to pass. But all you have to do is have a heart that's devoted and free so that I can do what I want. Your future is dependent in God on your heart. That's why, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow all, not some, all the issues, the choices, the affections, the desires, everything comes from the heart. But Isaiah 55, the word of the Lord says this, so shall my word be. Come on, seed. It goes forth from my mouth, and we have it, God has said. It shall not return to me void when planted in your heart, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's got a purpose for sowing promises in your life, and that purpose is to accomplish what he says. Wow, it's wonderful. See, our thinking has to change if we're to see everything that God wants to do through our lives. Really important, we don't have this religious attitude that says, oh, well, it's all up to God. Well, it's not. It's not all up to God. It's up to God and the condition of my heart. And I don't know about you, but this season of devotion is doing me the world of good. Where I'm praying and fasting and seeking God like never before. Wednesday night was a wonderful night for me. I went to my room, closed the door, listened to the message and responded. It was wonderful. And I'm like, Lord, this is so exciting because you have my heart. I didn't realize that there were other things competing with you. God wants us to be given over to what he has for us and what he wants to do through us. When we first moved down here to plant, notice the word, a church. Plant a church. We knew, the two of us, Pastor Andrew and I, we'd better pray. Because we didn't know what we were doing. Can I be honest? We'd had an international itinerant ministry for years, all over the world. We'd seen God do awesome things throughout Europe, America, Africa. And God had done incredible things. And then for me, the curveball of my life was God said, I want you to come and start a church in Taunton. My flesh said, ee! My heart went, your will be done. And it was a death to what I wanted. Because actually, for a seed to produce, there's often death before resurrection, isn't there? And I had to die to all that I had been doing. And funnily enough, over Christmas, family asked me, when are you going to leave that church and start another? We'd like you here. And I said, let me tell you a story. When we first planted the church, God said to me, he spoke to me through another minister who had gone to a certain place and it was hard, nothing was happening. And he kind of put a time on it. He said, I'll give it 5 years. And if nothing's happening, I'm off. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to sow your life here. In fact, I want you to expect that this is where you'll die. This is where you're going to die. And the Lord spoke to me. And that guy actually went out and bought a burial plot. He was a young man. He wasn't expecting to die early. But he was expecting to give his life for a vision. A God vision. Because the church is his vision. People are... And so I said... And I was answering it was really interesting. I was answering him saying, well, I'm never moving because I'm dying here. That's it. So nothing, no attractive offer can get me. No new job. I was offered. I've been offered a few. Very attractive. Pastor Colin offered me one. Colin Urquhart. Why don't you come and just run the Bible college up? Nah, I'm planted. And so when we came down, we were praying, and we were praying with sacrifice. So I'm willing to give my life for your thing, God. I didn't know this was going this way, but it's a good way to go. I'm willing to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, sacrifice, your own sacrifice, and follow me. So we're praying. And you know, we're believers. We believe what we read. Okay, so prayer is always an exciting thing for me. It is never boring. If you're bored, you haven't got the word of God in you. You're not even got, is anything too hard for me? That's a word from God. That always answers difficulties. It did this week. Something cropped up and I went, is anything too hard for the Lord? Praise God, nothing is too hard for the Lord because I've got seed. But we didn't know what God wanted to do here. And I was desperate. We were desperate to get a promise and God gave it to us. And there we were. And God said, what I'm going to do, you speak what I tell you to say. You be faithful to declare my word and do what I ask you to do. And this dead valley of dry bones are going to be changed into a living, raised by God army, an exceedingly great army. That is what you're here for. And you're here because of that. There were two of us, now there's us. But by the way, it's not fully there. This is not it. You're part of this great vision, an army for Jesus. Army his. Wonderful. And when I got that word, when we got the word, we were praying, and there was a lot of war. Whenever you get a seed, there's always the enemy will throw doubt and say, well, look at you two, you're rubbish. What are you going to do? I've got the life of God in me. I've got victory. I've got an army. I've got a multitude on the inside, and I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. An army is coming up. And Pastor Andrea said to me, I had a dream in the night of fruit, the harvest out of that seed. And she said, God wants me to tell you. She came into my bedroom. the word is planted. The miracle's in the ground. Your miracle has to start in the ground of your heart. Do you get it? It's the secret. Your miracle starts with a seed in your heart. That's where it all begins, and then it begins to. How are we doing? Shall we pray? Father, do miracles in me. Let's just pray for a few minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kira Bahari Hedebegeya. Oshamarahanda. Thank you, Lord. There is divine power in your word. That no word returns empty. It does always accomplish in good soil. It always produces. And we thank you that it has the mighty, victorious, overcoming life of God. That what Jesus did for us and when he's raised from the dead, that we have that kind of resurrection life within us. And we pray that we would operate out of sowing your word in our hearts so that we know the miracle is in the ground in good soil. Lord, I pray for people who've been asking and asking that this wisdom to sow a promise would take over their hearts and be planted in good soil so that a miracle can come out. We believe in your ability, Lord, but we pray that you will change the way we do life so that we can harvest your kingdom purpose in this generation. Amen. I hadn't planned to tell you that. But if you think about the soil, the heart, it isn't given over for itself. And it's not reproducing soil. It wants to produce what the seed is. It's a sacrificial thing for a soil. That actually comes under the ownership of the farmer, where Jesus is Lord. And then he speaks, this is what I want for you. And all other competing things fall away because you respond, not my will, but yours be done. And that is the life that can come from a heart, his resurrection life. These three W's that Jesus mentioned, we talked about one of the weeds with the thorns last week was worries. And if you haven't heard that, it'll do you the world of good or the kingdom of good, because you need to hear that. But there are these three W's, world, wealth, and worry. Just the two this morning. Jesus said, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And so there's deceitfulness of riches, which is wealth, and desires for other things, which is running after what the world runs after. And you know, you and I know our Father's good, don't we? We know that, don't we? That he gives good gifts to his children. And he takes care of us. But it's only because really we're responding to his ways of doing life. And this word deceitfulness of riches, I'm not going to go into it very long. But Jesus doesn't say riches. Because you can have riches, but they don't have your heart. Jesus does. Can I speak to another crowd? So, Abraham and Isaac, there are biblical examples of people that God has entrusted wealth to. But they were never, their hearts were never turned away from Jesus to wealth, creation. They turned and followed him And he added wealth. Because the wealth that is gained by you will destroy you. It will destroy your life. And it will destroy your eternal life. But when you put God first as a priority over all things, including money, stuff, houses, then God says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, then all these things will be added. So you're not to seek the things, you're to seek the kingdom first. Your king's will, your king's agenda, your king's word, your king's way, and your king's promises. So one of the thorns is this deceitfulness. Now, why is it deceitful? Because increase can communicate, I'm significant, I'm doing well. But how many of you know the richest people on earth are not doing well in God's eyes? And they will lose their soul forever in hell. That's not doing well. Just to make it clear. Money, wealth can lie to you. A bit like the snake in Mowgli. Trust in me. Trust in me. Come on. Follow me. You need me. You need more of me. And the eyes are going, I remember as a child watching those eyes going round, hypnotic eyes. You see, Satan uses riches to hypnotize you. Where your goal is increase, not God and his increase. So how much, oh, by the way, I just say one more thing before I do this. Riches reveal you. They don't create you, your heart. What you have reveals your heart. So what I have is revealed by what I do with it. It's not the money in itself. It's who I am, my heart. So stuff reveals me. Am I free if God takes it away? Am I free to give? Or am I holding on for dear life when the offering is going by? I would suggest to you, riches have you. You're not free. And your Father wants you free so that you can trust him that he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. How do you know what's too much for you? Because it'll be different for all of us. How do you know that what you have is too much for you? Well, if it affects your devotion to Jesus and your devotion to the word and prayer, your devotion to the house meeting together as God's people, and your devotion to being a witness in whatever sphere of life he puts you. So if your riches go up and your devotion goes down, riches have you. And you've got thorns and you won't produce what God wants. But if your riches go up and your devotion goes up with it, God will be you'll be free for God to say, now, I want you to do this and not give all your time to that. I want you as part of this. This is what I've called you to. You're free. You're free. Whatever turns your heart away from Jesus first is a thorn. Whatever. I remember somebody saying to me years ago, I'm called to create wealth for the kingdom. And there was something in the way he said it that I felt, ooh, that's not going to go well. Because it was out of the wrong heart. I want to get rich. And I tag on wealth for the kingdom on wanting what I want. Did you know you can tag on God to anything? Well, God said, I could have anything I want. You can tag God onto anything if you're manipulative and wanting to manipulate a situation. And I remember thinking, this isn't going to go well. And praying for their heart to change and be open and available to God, that if he gave them wealth, they would literally serve God with it. Deceitfulness, it lies to us. I'm going to finish with this one, the desires for other things. Can't things get us? That car we want, that better house, or if you're a golfer, that better set of clubs, or what gets you? I want what I want. I don't know what your want is. I have them too. I have desires that compete, if I'm not careful, with God's will for my life. Desire for other things. And Jesus said this is a thorn that actually will take out the fruit of what God wants. You can't have the whole world and Jesus. In fact, friendship with the world is enmity against God. God is a jealous God. He wants your heart. That's what he's after. He loves you, but he wants you. Not just what you can give or do, he wants you. And desires for other things have led more people away from following Jesus, being faithful in the house, in the church, serving and devoting themselves to prayer. I can tell you, if you don't pray, you have desire for other things. Aren't you pleased I came this morning? I hope you are, because I feel this is the sword of the Spirit. That if we can get our weeds out, this year is going to be incredible for God and his glory and for your enjoyment. There's going to be a lot of good fruit for you as well as everybody else. I loved what it says about King David. He had a heart after God. His heart was always, God, what do you want? Not always, actually. He failed a couple of times. But his heart was after God. And it says of him, after David served the purpose of God in his generation. Not after David got rich, won victory, sat down, said, I want, I want, I want, I want. After David served the purpose of God in his generation, he rested, he fell asleep. How about that being your end? I'm serving God's purpose for my generation. This is what I'm living for. I'm not living for everything else that the world is running after. Solomon was the opposite in the middle of his race. And it didn't happen at the beginning of his life with God. He followed wholeheartedly at the beginning. And this is why Solomon is such a warning for us. Because wealth, riches, and pleasures can take over your life. Your desire to do what you want can take over your life. And Solomon, he did so well, awesome stuff at the beginning. But it says, but Solomon loved women. That was a thorn that competed. He had desires for other things, and his was women. And you know what that desire did? It led him to such a decline that his end is a disaster. From a glorious start to a tragic end. All because he didn't deal with his own desires, his heart. And it took him off, and he never ever saw the fulfillment of everything that God intended for his life. God has a good plan for your life. He has a hope and future for you. But he isn't going to do it without your heart being wholehearted and giving it to Jesus. That's how God is going to do things in your family. Your future and the future of your family is down to your heart. The future of this church is down to your heart. And mine. Oh my goodness. I'm going to finish with this. Promise. Oh gosh, I do hope your heart is jumping up and down, even though your flesh is going, eh. This is a message that is cutting across what I'm thinking and wanting for 2026. Do you know God loves you enough to tell you? Get rid of the thorns. He loves you that riches deceive, desire for other things can take you out. But if you have a good soil, the word will grow mightily and prevail. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Shall we say this with a smile on our face? Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of following the one who is our example. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Every Christian is called by Scripture, by God, a soldier. And a soldier is very different to being somebody that lives civilian life. Christians have similar responsibilities to everybody else. So I need to say this, that a soldier, whether it's a woman or a man, they actually have families, they might have a wife or a husband, they might have children, responsibilities to mow the lawn. They have things that they have to do. They have to do an MOT on their car. The ordinary things of life have to be done by us all. You understand? That's what I'm saying here. Even though you're a soldier, you've still got things you've got to take care of. Is that okay? But a soldier knows when the call comes, it doesn't matter how much the kids cry, and it doesn't matter what the wife does to complain about it. They say, I'm off, honey. I don't know when I'm being back, going to come back. But I'm here, I'm enlisted in an army. So when the call-up comes, I'm there. Because the commanding officer has priority. He has the ability to interrupt your program. But I'm watching a series on Netflix. Well, the call comes, get off the sofa and get to prayer. Can you see this? It's not that you don't have things to do. It's that what he says takes first place, first grabs over me. You know, there is this saying, and I just want to slay that cow this morning. A happy wife is a happy life. It's not biblical. That's not biblical, because that would suggest that every man has to do everything that the wife says to make her happy. Now, biblically, a godly husband will lay down their life to love their wives and to seek to do them good. That's a godly husband. But if a happy wife is a happy life, what that could mean is Jesus has no place in your decision making. The wife chooses, or the husband chooses, or the business chooses, or the couch chooses, or my feelings choose. But what about God, that we're here to please him? And if we get so tangled up in life, we're not free to say, I'm here. I'm on duty. I'm here to serve you. Thank you that you give me enough time with my wife, my family, because you care about every aspect of my life. And as I seek first your kingdom, all of that stuff is going to be better anyway, because you add it and your adding power has blessing and abundance over it. Priorities. So as we make a choice this year, and I hope to follow him wholeheartedly, we also need to make choices to make sure desire for other things, running after getting more money and getting more stuff, is actually rooted out so that he can sow his seed into good soil. And what is already growing will actually not be taken out by other things. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Tell somebody next to you, that has given me an MOT this morning. I've had an MOT. I'm tuned up. I'm tuned up. Things are being... Open heart surgery, somebody. Any advance on open heart surgery? Because, you know, this is serious. I just want to say something here. The imminence of Christ's return, we're so close. And this is the time for the church to be wholehearted, more than any. Because we're the ones that are going to prepare for his second coming and see many come into the kingdom. Jesus said, my food is to do your will and finish your work. It fuels me more than things, more than stuff. Everything about my heart is I'm here for the will of God. If you can, let's just pray through that. My food is to do your will and finish your work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him for just his grace and his mercy to teach you about your own heart this morning. And maybe put his finger on things that actually have taken the wrong place in your heart. And you recognize this morning, actually, it's going to end bad if I don't deal with that. Because he's a good father, he teaches us not just the way into things, the way out of things, the way out of the bad things in the future. Oh, Father, may our hearts be responsive, even to this word about pursuing riches above you, pursuing things. Thank you, you're the giver of all good things, but Lord, you add them to us rather than them sort of taking our attention and focus. And I pray that my heart will be so worked on that when your seed is planted, that there's room for it to grow. There's room and space and influence in my life for your kingdom and your ways to govern everything about my life. Come and rule me this year. I invite you not just to say you're my Lord. Come and be really Lord of my heart, Lord of my affections, Lord of my attachments. Come and free me from the wrong attachments so that I can be devoted to you and what you have for me. Oh, Jesus, we want to see your kingdom come this year. Come on, let's just agree with that. We want to see your will done this year. But we pray that our hearts would be such good soil as individuals and together that actually we wouldn't be tangled up like those civilians that haven't got another goal in life. Our goal is you and our goal is your kingdom. And your promises fulfilled and your ways known in the earth. Just take a moment to yield to him. Surrender, a fresh surrender. Thank you, Lord, that you give me pictures in your word, the seed packet of a great future with you. That the plans that you have are good. The seeds you sow are good. It produces the best life. Even the boundaries you set into our lives, it's because you love us and want the best for us. I yield to you, Master. You're my master. You're my desire. I love you above all others. I put you in the number one spot in my devotion. I love you because you first loved me. And I'll serve you because you came and gave your life for me. Be glorified from the inside out this year. Take your right place in my heart and let everybody see the fruit of that. May I be a bright shining light in this generation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace for us, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for all that you have for us this year. Thank you for a people who live actually devoted to what matters to you. Though I may please him, let that be my goal this year, that I may please him who enlisted me. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him this morning. It's going to happen. Amen. Let's do it in faith. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.